Jesus' name, amen. So continue to pray for our leadership. Continue to pray for our law enforcement that God would protect them. Well, if you turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, this is part 2. Nehemiah faces opposition. As we began our service last week, we watched a video of a man named Sang Chul from North Korea. If you remember, he was out collecting mushrooms, and North Korea still is a very persecuted nation. But as he was out collecting, met a man named Pastor Chan, a Chinese pastor. And Pastor Chan, over many meetings, gave him a Bible, and he came to Christ. And then I think it was 2014 or 2017, where Mr. Chul was watching TV in South Korea, and they were honoring military men from North Korea who had killed a pastor from China, and it was ended up being Pastor Han, and he was arrested or was killed for sharing his faith. And we looked at the first 8 verses of chapter 4 last week, and we said when God's work gets underway, opposition is definitely going to come. And the enemies began in chapter 4 with the taunts. They were ridiculing the people. They were mocking them, making great fun of them. And we have I have it in your notes as well, but verses 1 to 3, the enemies mocked. And we said one of the comments, they said, if a fox walks on that wall, it's going to tear it down. That was a pretty funny comment. Unless you were one of the workers, you didn't really want to hear that. But what did the people do in the response to the mocking, in response to the ridicule, as they prayed? And we see that in verses 4 to 6. And then we see in verses 7 and 8, the people got angry, and they went from just the verbal abuse to threatening them physically. And we left off last week with looking at that, and we said, there's more things going to happen, obviously, in this chapter. We didn't finish it there. But we see the people beginning well as we come to verse 9. But more frustration is going to set in as you go through the rest of the chapter. Some discouragement and some opposition come. And the question is going to be, is how can Nehemiah's leadership survive these persistent and constant attacks? Well, just like number 2, number 4 is, again, the people pray. Let me read verse 9. Again, this is after all the mocking. Verse 9, and we prayed to our God and set a guard as protection against them day and night. Nehemiah demonstrates the importance of prayer. He demonstrates the importance of planning and continuing on doing the work that's necessary. But we said, just like we said last week, that as important as prayer is, the question needs to be, okay, we've prayed, now what are we going to do? It's obviously prayer is important, and I said we've had people who say, well, yeah, we'll pray about it. If you ask them if they'd be involved in a ministry, if they would do something for the Lord, if they would serve in a certain capacity, and when they tell you, I'll pray about it, there's some people you believe, but there's some other people, when they say, I'll pray about it, you know they're not going to pray about it. They're just not going to do it. Just wish they would say, no, I don't really want to serve in that, or no, I'm not going to do it. But some people say, well, I'll pray about it with no intention of ever acting. And he reminds us, Nehemiah reminds us here, that there needs to be action taken as well as just the prayer. And he says, we set up a guard of protection. What he's saying here is we could just say the Lord will take care of us and do nothing, but sometimes we need to do something. They could have thought that themselves that, well, if this is God's work, if God wants it taken care of, then he'll handle all the enemy. But Nehemiah said, no, there's sometimes we need to do something to protect ourselves. And in light of what's going on and what we've just prayed about, I want you to think about, what can we do? What can we do as far as what's going on in the world? Someone had on Facebook this morning, someone from in town said something to the effect that the world is doing what the world does, but we're safe here in our county, in our town, and we're just going to continue on life. You know, what's outside doesn't affect us. Well, what's outside happening in the world does affect us. What's happening on television should affect us. And I saw a pastor this morning being interviewed, and he was saying his Well, he's from Minneapolis. He said he's just a few blocks where all the rioting. But he said they got together and they just went out and just cleaned the streets. They were sweeping up glass. They were cleaning out buildings that had been gutted by fire. And they just said, we're just trying to do what we can do. People from all over the country, again, Samaritan's Purse was there. Franklin Graham was there this morning on the streets talking to some of the rioters. And he had pastors there, and they've taken people in. What can we do? We can pray. But perhaps God's calling some of you to go. Perhaps God's calling some of you to lay it all in your heart. I need to go to Philadelphia, or I need to go to New York City, or I need to go to Boston, or I need to go to Minneapolis, or some of these cities that have been attacked. And perhaps I just need to go and clean streets. Perhaps I need to go and just be there and perhaps stand as a barrier for law enforcement. I really, really appreciate it. I don't know if you saw the pictures this morning. Number of black protesters, men and women, and they had on black and white T-shirts, I don't know if you saw it, had black, white crossed out, and then human at the bottom. And I thought that was so appropriate, so peaceful. Black and white don't matter. We're all human. But they were standing as barriers to protect the White House police and Secret Service people there, but these are black demonstrators who wanted to do it peacefully and do it correctly, who were protecting the ones that people wanted to get at. And perhaps maybe God's calling you to do something like that, but we are involved, whether you want to admit it or not. We are involved here in Tioga County. It's not affecting us in our own streets. We're not going to probably see streets on or businesses on Main Street in Wellsboro burnt down. But we should be impacted by it. We should be affected by it. Maybe we do need to go. Maybe as a church, that should be a mission trip. If the Lord's laid on your heart, come talk to me about that. Let me know. But perhaps we need to do something that God hasn't spoken to me yet about. And I'm trying to think, what can we do as a church? What can I do as an individual? What do I need to do to be involved? But so often we just want to pray about things and leave it at that. When Cheryl and I were interviewed for a position in Lancaster, it was for the pastor position. We spent Saturday nights with our family in Coatesville, and then Sunday after we went to the church service and then had an interview Sunday. Oh, I did. Cheryl and the kids went shopping in Lancaster. But I had an interview with the board, and the board asked me this question. They said, what would you do if one of our young people came up to you and said, we want to join the military? And I just didn't stop to think about any other possible answer to this. I said, well, I would say I would really encourage them. I'd say, talk to them about what they wanted to join, what they wanted to do. Are you going to be involved? Do you want to be like a SEAL? Or do you want to do an electrician? What do you want to do? And they just looked at me and they stopped me and they said, we're not pleased with that answer at all. And I said, what are you looking for? And they said, we would tell our young people to avoid the military, be a conscientious objector, or leave the country. And I looked at them, and Cheryl, remember, she wasn't at the meeting, but she heard me when I came out. I didn't know what else to say. I said, do you live in America? I said, do you guys pay your taxes? Do you travel the roads in Lancaster? Are you glad that you had the freedom to meet this morning? They all said yes. And I said, so you're willing to take from the country, but you're not willing to do anything for the country? And they didn't like that. And that the meeting pretty much ended at that point. And I went out, and I think I had the cell phone. I called her. I said, you can come pick me up. I said, we're not going to get this position. But that was a church that was willing to take, but they weren't willing to do anything. And I have a real problem with that. If a certain person wanted to be a conscientious objector, I guess they can do that. But if you want to live in the country and take all the freedoms and all the stuff that the nation gives you, but you're not willing to defend it, I had an issue with that. So that's what Nehemiah is saying here. So we can't just pray. We have to do. We have to be ready to fight. And then we see the second thing is discouragement comes from within. In verse 10, it says, in Judah it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. One of the most damaging, one of the most dangerous times in any church, in any ministry, is when the attacks come from within the church. Satan has done more damage from within the church to the church than he has from without. And some people have said the greatest enemy to the church is believers in the church. And that probably is true. One of the greatest weapons, probably the most used weapon of Satan, is this one of discouragement, this one of frustration within the church. And it really doesn't take much, does it? It may take one person who is unhappy, who goes to someone else, and they talk to someone, and then that person goes to someone. It takes one person who is just willing to make a comment that we're not like other churches, or God isn't blessing us, or our people don't do anything. Excuse me. Our people are lazy, and it always falls on me. Just one person to start a gossip session. And they'll say, we'll pray about this, but what they're looking for is to get someone to know how bad they feel about an individual or a family. Just one person to spread that rumor, that gossip, to someone else who may be, whether inside the church or outside the church. It may be just one person who believes the church owes them more than what they're getting. I go and I give my tithe every week, and they don't give anything for me. They don't do anything for me, and I've heard that complaint. One individual who is angry, who can get a whole hornet's nest up. And we talked about the whole mob mentality last Sunday, not realizing that we're going to see the whole mob mentality played out in our nation this week. But I've seen it happen. The congregation is split. The congregation begins to fight. The congregation is torn apart because of one comment, because of one person who doesn't like what's going on, or maybe a couple people who get that mob mentality going. And what we see here in this verse is Judah, the people in Judah are starting to look at the work that's being done, the resources that they're given. Remember, we said they're using old rocks, and that's why the guy could say, well, if a fox crawls on it, it's going to fall down. But what the people here in Judah are saying, they said, maybe a fox would cause it to down, but we're getting tired, the work is hard, and we can't do all this by ourselves. That's what the complaint is. If you read verse 10, we just cannot do it. I don't even ever heard a Christian complain. It's not a pretty sound. But that's what is happening here. And I've had my share as pastor and even as just a church member of confrontations with church members who, I'll call them agitators, people who spoke negatively of the ministry, people who spoke negatively of the church, people who spoke negatively of me, people who spoke negatively of other members in the church. And there's been times over the years I've had to ask people to consider leaving the church because they were not doing what God wanted them to do and what we felt that God was calling us to do. I've had people complain about the music, not just here, I mean just in churches. And I've heard this. I have had a brother-in-law who served for many years as a pastor, and I know many pastors. But the things that they say, that they complain about the music, they complain about the color of the carpet. We've never had that. But they complain about the times of services. They complain about the fellowship times. They complain about food. They complain about communion. I've had people say, Jesus used real wine. Why do we use grape juice? You think you can think that one through? Let me just tell you one reason for that is I dated a girl whose father was an alcoholic, was a pastor, and he was a guest speaker in the church when I was dating her, and he went to speak at this church and didn't realize they were using real wine, and he gave out the communion, went to drink the cup in front of the entire congregation, and said his face just got bright red, and he immediately started shaking. So we don't know if there's an alcoholic who might come to our church. So that's one of the reasons that I stand very strong on that. But people complain about that. People get mad if they're asked to do too much, or they're the ones who are serving. I clean the church. I do all the boxes for shoe boxes. I do everything. I'm the one who teaches all the Sunday school classes, and they feel like they're alone. There are other people who get frustrated when they're asked to stand alone, and they feel like God is isolating them. They don't just get mad at the church, but they get mad at God. And they really have no idea what persecution is, do they? because Pastor Han that we looked at, or Mr. Chul from South North Korea, can tell you what persecution is. We feel sometimes that the work of Christ is difficult and we can't do it alone. But I want to ask you, why is discouragement, just want to get some of your answers to this, why is discouragement such a powerful weapon from Satan? Why do you think that is one of the key weapons that he uses today? What are some of your thoughts? Okay, good. What else? I just put up, we love negative reports and we love to gossip, but there's a lot more to it. What else? Encouragement is important. Discouragement is just the opposite of that. And I have that in my notes is we want more and it's always about we or me. I want more. I deserve more from the church. I deserve more from the Lord. Yes, Rob.
I know for me, I become more easily discouraged if I'm not spending time in the Word or in prayer. So maybe that's the disconnect, that as Christians we're not spending as much time as we should, and we're more easily discouraged.
Yeah, oh absolutely. So I was going to say, how can we apply that to where people are today in our world? Again, it's a lot centered on me. I saw a black officer on TV this morning saying it's not about race. He said I am so tired of this race baiting. He said it's these people are criminals. He said we've got to trust the justice system whether we do or not. I know sometimes I have a hard time doing that, but he said the officer has been fired. He's been charged. He said, we need to let that play out. He said, what these people are doing in the name of George Floyd is not what George Floyd would want. They are violent criminals. And he said, they are breaking the law. But again, it's I didn't get what I want. Or my people aren't getting what they deserve. But it all comes back to me. And they are being discouraged. What this officer said is he said we just need to be able to, we should have blacks and whites be able to sit down and talk and get things worked out. And he said, I want to see police violence ended. He's a police officer himself. He said, I want to see it. And he said, those four in that video don't represent all the police officers. And I said to Cheryl, I said, we've had this conversation the last couple of days in our home. I get so frustrated with people saying, oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you're a Christian. Christians have gone through that too. I mean, we go through that just as Robin, I think, was when we prayed in her prayer that we are labeled because of the behavior of a few. And again, it's about us. It's about me. I think we're going to stop there instead of going on to number 6 and 7, but we'll finish that up next week. But understand that I think President Trump has said this. He said the economy was going really well, and he said he didn't expect this to happen. And when things go well, things happen. Things like this come. And that's true. And that's what's going on in Nehemiah. Things were going along for the Lord, and these attacks come. And now it's not just the enemy. It's people from within. So let's really commit to being believers that are going to stand for the Lord, stand for the church, and stand up for Jesus Christ, and that his word is going to be honored. And we're going to close with that song. We're making a change here this morning from a closing song. It's a song we've sung here before, but it's Michael W. Smith called Ancient Words. I want us to stand together. If you don't know it, you'll learn it. But it's talking about the Word of God and the effect that it needs to have in our lives.
words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us hope. In this world, wherever we roam, ancient words will guide.
That we represent well, that not our will, not our political slants, which we can tend to be very vocal about, but that we represent.